Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It's 8 minutes after four. Thank you for spending some time with Jordana and Paul. Hey, buddy. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back. It was a great RV adventure, but... Happy to be back with family that we rescue is too strong a word. They have been in Seattle for 4 months. They have a newborn, and they've been stuck in their home. They have no family in the Pacific Northwest. So we were happy to meet them in the mountains of Western Montana, which are incredible, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go to Big Sky or Whitefish, we went to Glacier National Park, which was closed, so we couldn't get in, but we got close to the glaciers. But it's just stunning country. But good to be home. 3,000 miles in about 5 days in that RV. You're going to have a good time when you take yours out.
Can't wait.
Yep.
A couple of big, big stories today. We are actually waiting for Sloan Martin to get off a phone call with Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis. He was booed and kind of did a walk of shame yesterday after a rally outside his home where he was asked whether or not he supported defunding or dismantling the abolition of the Minneapolis Police Department. And he said he did not. And the crowd did not like that. So, of course, we've asked the mayor to join us on the air. We've asked Lisa Bender, the president of the city council. We have asked Jeremiah Ellison. We have asked all of the council members and the mayor, anyone involved in this proposal to defund and dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department, to come on our show. And we got shut down. We are used to rejection in this business, but we have been shut down. So I promise we want to talk to them and hear from them as much as you do. So we are going to keep at it. But Sloan Martin is on a phone call today because Mayor Fry is currently making a statement. We wish we could have taken it live. That wasn't an option for us because we're dying to hear what he's got to say.
Jure, again, the statistic that made me fall off my chair, across the nation, half of all police killings involve somebody living with mental illness or disability. So a lot of people who talk about reform or even disbanding the police say, why not dispatch medical professionals or social workers, people who can de-escalate a situation so that there is no need for potential violence? David Schultz, who we have on frequently, he told the New York Times, by the way, he's a Hamline University professor, Dave Schultz. He said that the Minneapolis Police Department has used force against African Americans 7 times more frequently than against white people over the last 5 years. 7 times more use of force. So you can understand why a lot of people of color are so upset right now.
That's right.
And we should all be upset.
I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Yes.
Also, at 5:18, we're going to speak with Dr. Tanya Gladney. She's an associate professor of law enforcement program in the Department of Sociology and Criminal Justice at St. Thomas University. Because I think that's a scary thing when you hear the city council say we are going to dismantle the police department. You think,
right.
Oh my gosh. Well, if I have an emergency, a medical emergency or whatever, and I call 911, what is going to happen? But like Paul said, why not dispatch mental health experts? If there is, God forbid, a sexual assault or rape that is called in, why not dispatch those trained in trauma, those specifically trained in trauma to take a statement and get those people talking and have them calm down. These cops are not properly trained in sexual violence. We know that from the Star Tribune's Deny Justice series. So the cops are not a panacea. And if they are doing more harm than good, a change needs to come.
And it seems like a change is coming. I mean, a lot of people saying that this one feels different, that it seems like this is a true inflection point. And we'll see. But don't just assume that things are going to go back to the way they were a few weeks ago. This represents systemic change and reform, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Look at all the protests around the planet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his death, his murder has definitely struck a chord, and this isn't going away anytime soon, Jor.
This is also affecting people's interpersonal relationships. It's not just public. You may have different views on certain things right in your own home. So, how does that work in your relationship? Our expert Lori Watson will join us next to chat. Welcome back. It's 4:18. Jordana Green here. Thank you for spending some time with us today. So much is happening in the world. We often fall on one side of the aisle or the other in many of these disagreements, although I don't know anybody who's for racism. Well, I guess except that guy we played in the news. Dr. Lori Watson is joining us here to sort of make sense on how to interpret culture and not let that affect our interpersonal relationships. Lori, thanks for joining us here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline.
Hey, Lori.
Hello. Hello, you all. You know, well, certainly we are all glued to the news, and mm-hmm. our hearts are torn apart as we see the nation torn apart. And, you know, I've been trying to figure out, like, how do we think about this? How can we, each of us, with our own privilege, with our own problems, with the way we've been hurt, you know, how do we come together as a nation and as people? I guess the thing that stands out the most to me is that there's two sides to this argument, and one side of it is, you know, my intentions, and then the other side of it is the impact of my actions. You know, so many people are saying, you know, but I, you know, I'm not this way. I don't feel these things. I'm not racist. You know, my intentions are good. And then the other side says, yeah, but look at the impact. Look at, you know, look at what you've allowed to go on. Look at the way the world is. You know, and we are struggling to figure out both sides of this argument.
But do me a favor, Lori, and when you say both sides of the argument, I mean, isn't this, I mean, are there really two sides? I mean, this is, you know, moral versus immoral, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Racism, I think most grown adults would say that there aren't no two sides, that this is a moral issue, and that the media should be treating it accordingly. When you say both sides, just break that down, unpack that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that clarification, because I certainly agree with you that racism is immoral. And I guess I'm thinking about the way, though, that racism has been allowed to continue, you know, for so many, many years. And the argument is, look at, if you had realized what you were causing, how you were hurting, would you not have done something sooner? Mm-hmm. And I think that many people in white culture say, hey, it wasn't me. I'm not racist. You know, this is not something I caused, right? And they don't see that both their intentions may be, you know, I have a heart that's good. I love all people. But you know what? The impact of that, when we look at the impact of it, is there is still overt racism in our culture. So something is missing. And we have to examine that. We have to say, you know, if my intention is good, then, you know, why haven't I not changed things? You know, what in me has been able to see my own blind spots? You know, why haven't I voted the way that it needs to vote, you know, to change our culture? I think that this, our blind spots are often unconscious. You know, we
you
we
say
even...
that we're often you say that we're often blind to the pain of others because we're too wrapped up in our own story, or we're
right.
You know, everybody has pain. So how do we get past that?
Yeah, exactly. I think that we get past this with being, you know, turning our emotions on. You know, that sometimes we become callous. You know, we're overwhelmed by this big problem, and we think we can't make a change. Little old me can't do anything, but there are so many things we can do. And we have to begin by feeling. We have to be able to imagine that what we feel inside is what the other, the mysterious other, the different other feels too. I mean, I think that, you know, we have to see that everybody bleeds red and everybody has the same need for safety, justice, love, and connection. And in order to do that, we have to feel emotional, right? It's so tempting to want to turn off, to think that this problem is somebody else's problem, bigger than us, that we can't do anything. You know, I even think about policemen who are trained, right? They're trained to turn off their feelings. That's the way they come into the academy. Turn it off so that you can get the job done. But we need them to turn on their emotions so that they can be in touch when it's needed with their own humanity, so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. I mean, I really think it's emotional attunement, both knowing what we feel and imagining that the other feels the exact same way, right? When people say, you know, but I've been hurt, this is, you know, how does racism start? It sometimes starts in irrational ways, passed down from our families, passed down from our culture. And we have to imagine beyond that, that everybody needs connection, and that we too need to turn on that part of us instead of becoming calloused or numb to the problems. We have to see the problems.
Lori, maybe it's part of the human condition. It's much easier to blame others, especially people who don't look like us or talk like us or have the same experiences, than to look in the mirror and say, okay, the reason I didn't get the promotion or the reason I'm not where I think I should be, it's on me. It's not on other people. There's this tendency to blame the others. And again, I talk to a lot of people of faith, and I sure don't have the answer key, but, you know, Jesus was pretty explicit when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. That was not a suggestion. That was a commandment.
That
second only to loving God,
wasn't it? But
yeah,
I think what you're saying is right. We can look at the other, and the most obvious thing can sometimes be the color of a person's skin, and so we can't see beyond that. But you know, I would say to you, you know, sometimes though, getting the promotion is a cultural issue, not just, you know, it may be that the culture is sort of white supremacist or white dominant, and so the promotion can be missed. You know, sometimes we also look at the color of the skin and we don't see the good, right? And sometimes maybe on the side of the white person says, oh, that black person got the promotion just for diversity's sake. You know, and I mean it's just kind of a terrible dilemma. I've been arguing on Facebook, you know, all week about it with some of my Christian friends who, you know, are in my mind kind of changing the subject, saying, well, you know, what about the looters? And I think, well, yeah, I mean, in every organization, right, certainly every Christian organization, we know there's, you know, people that are bad apples, right? But that changes this important conversation that we're having about the rage of racial injustice that has been going on for generations. I think we have to have a wider lens, Paul. I think we have to say, you know, some of these things that we feel are unjust, as maybe because we're white or because we're black, we have to look at the wider lens. You know, what is this other that I'm so afraid of?
Hey, Lori, I have a question. I'm seeing that there's a lot of activists out there. I see a lot of really strong women out there leading the charge. And I know that I go to bed exhausted
every night. And it's not because I'm doing anything. I'm not doing exercise. I feel emotionally drained. I feel like, oh my gosh, because I'm awakening to this. I have these racist thoughts, or I'm learning these new things about myself that I didn't know. And I'm just trying to be open-hearted and open-minded to learning really difficult things. Right. And the emotional work, well, for me, and it's not just about me, but it's exhausting. But I see some of these leaders out there. I see them. They're out there at the rallies every day. They are trying to teach and they are trying to educate. So can you talk for just maybe 30 seconds about a little bit of self-care and maybe some self-compassion for people that are dealing with all of these emotions? Because this is so hard.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you have a conscience and you are white and you're looking inside, suddenly there's this reckoning, right? And any time we do self-reckoning, it's painful and it's difficult and we want to shy away from it and we want to buffer it and, you know, see ourselves as, but we still have good parts. And it's really, really hard to open up our hearts and say, yeah, but this, I could have done more, or I should have done more, or I should have seen this. And I think it, you know, it can be exhausting, and that's the temptation is, how can we shield ourselves from this? I think one of the things I'm doing is, you know, I literally put my hands on my heart and I say, you know what, you know, this love that you feel, you got to, like, let it out to the world. And it's okay. You know, right now, this is where you're at, and you have failed in many ways, and you know, I kind of try to comfort my heart with my own hands, just saying, right now, the world, though, needs you to change. And I know you know, you thought that you had been good enough, and it's not good enough.
It's not.
And I'm with you. I see these people out protesting and going again, and, you know, the crowds are getting bigger, and it's like, I think one of the messages I hear is, the world is going to change, and I'm so glad for that and so hopeful for that.
We can only hope.
Go ahead, Lori, Paul.
Lori Watson, thank you so much. We love your podcast. Keep it going. And thank you so much for weighing in and helping us.
This week on 4Play Radio, we have a podcast on racism and our thoughts as we reach out to people as well. And you know, I'm not the wisest person in the world. I just do want this to change and feel for so many people that have been so injured and hurt.
I think the vast majority of people want change. 651-989-9226. Should we be defunding the police? What are your thoughts on that? Paul Douglas, Jordana Green, Dave Josephson, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate that. Mourners paying their respects right now to George Floyd, a visitation in Houston, Texas. In fact, Texas Governor Greg Abbott passed by the casket of George Floyd earlier this afternoon. With us to bring us up to date on what's going on is Brandon Eisen. Brandon, thank you for joining us on CCO.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And as I'm down here in front of the Fountain of Praise Church, I have seen thousands of people from the community come in. Tried to pay attention to any out-of-state plates, but as I've said before, people are being shuttled in here. So the opportunity for that isn't quite as it normally would be. But so far, this viewing of George Floyd's body has been really pulled off seamlessly. As far as the way they've coordinated it with the police helping out, the fire department helping out, and then just the idea of bringing in the shuttles, a single file line, and people coming through and then getting back onto a shuttle that's waiting for them and taking them back to their vehicles.
What is the mood there? I asked before. Can you hear me, by the way, Brandon?
I can.
Okay. What did he say, guys? Cannot or can?
Yeah, he can. Yes,
okay.
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Brandon, I was wondering, because there are still protests or rallies. They're not really protests. I've seen rallies all over the country, including here in Minneapolis. Is the mood somber and like awake, or are people coming and moving through rallies, and is it more a sense of hope that this will bring change?
Well, you know, I've tried not to be this blunt, but you know, as people ask me the question, you know, what is this weight like? It's mm-hmm. just like a weight, just like you okay. asked.
Sure.
You know, people are very quiet, staying within their small groups and kind of keeping to themselves. It's very quiet. There aren't demonstrators out here with signs. There are a few signs here and there, and most of the people in the crowd are you know, just really focused on, you know, what brought them down here to witness the body of George Floyd and what resonates with them. And I think that a lot of people are being very contemplative and retrospective here at this spot right now.
All right, Brandon Eisen, thank you for the update. We appreciate that. Hang tight. We'll get back to you in the 5 o'clock hour. Thank you, Brandon. And meanwhile, we want to pivot. By now, you've probably heard the news. Lisa Bender, Minneapolis Council president, announcing that Minneapolis plans to defund
And by the way,
the
no
police.
Disruption internet at all.
It turns out that the city council plans to defund the police. What exactly that means, we don't know. Light on specifics. And so until we actually get more details, it's hard to really cast judgment. And yet, there is a temptation to weigh in immediately with what this might mean for residents of Minneapolis. Will policing as we know it change? Will it morph? Will it adapt? Don, in Anoka, you've been waiting patiently. We wanted to get your input. What do you think of this announcement?
Well, I think it's a start, but I had an answer to this whole what's going on here. I've heard nothing from leaders or the mayor or the council or anything about possibly trying to privatize some type of department, like, you know, like they have them security guards
right.
downtown in them buildings. How come they
right.
couldn't get a company, an independent company, like, you know, to police the city? And then I don't know if it should be unionized or not, because you got all them problems, you know, with that. And then if you don't like the company, if they're not fitting your needs and doing what, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, you know, you could always look for another company. Privatized company to take the place. I don't know if you do a contract on that or how they do all that, but that could be an option.
Absolutely.
And a good one. Thanks, Don.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Great call. Thank you, Don.
Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. That's it. We are talking about whether or not you are in favor of defunding and dismantling the police. That's what we're talking about. Some of the texts say this. And Paul, did you read the text already? I got booted offline a little bit.
No,
no?
I did not.
Okay. Let's see. The Minneapolis Charter mandates a fund for police. Maybe the city council should try reading it. Maybe. But hey, maybe you change the charter. All is possible. All things are possible. That's why we have the elastic clause in the Constitution. It is elastic. It is bendable. It is malleable. It is changeable. Amendments to the Bill of Rights, because things can be changed. Things can be changed. Also, another text says this. Minneapolis is a human trafficking hub. Who's going to police that? Well, maybe someone better than the police, because it is still a trafficking hub. So clearly we're not doing a great job at that either. Maybe we will have people that specialize solely in human trafficking. You know, I know a bunch of, there are nonprofits that do this that can, I'm sure, raise money to have people that are specially trained in that. I certainly know that somebody other than the MPD could do a better job than in sex crimes. We could have trauma nurses. We could have, you know, properly trained officers that know about trauma and rape and sexual violence. So I know there is a better way than what we're doing right now, because this is 100% not working.
Well, and some of the people have made some very specific suggestions. This is more reform than tearing it down, building it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
But why do the police have to look like Marines? Right? Or Marvel superheroes.
They don't. They don't have to. It's just this is the way it's always been done, and people don't like change.
And why can't the cops live in the neighborhoods they're policing? Right?
They
to me, mm-hmm. that makes sense. You care about where you live, and you want to keep the peace. So, I mean, to me, that seems like a no-brainer.
We have been anxiously awaiting the comments of Mayor Jacob Frey after he was booed away from a rally outside his home. Our own Sloan Martin, who has been on the call all afternoon. And Sloan, I know you're jamming to get stuff ready for news, but what did he say?
Oh, Jordana, I've already got that done. I'm just a master at turning things around here real quick.
You.
So, no, I'm all yours, basically, for the time being. But basically what we heard today is, I mean, are you more interested in hearing about the public safety portion or kind of the rebuild portion? Because we got a little bit of both today about the structure of what might happen next.
Well, if you have both and you have time, let's take a very short break. We're going to keep you on the line, Sloan, and then you're going to get to tell us both next on CCO. Welcome back. It's 4:51. Sloan Martin, I so apologize for having kept you so long. We are dying to know what Mayor Frey said on the call today.
Well, actually, we were in person, which is becoming just feeling more normal, I guess, compared to when mm-hmm. all of this kind of started. Of course, we were physically distanced inside a big auditorium at the Sabathany Community Center, where I still am now. But yeah, side note is that, yeah, we were in person. So that's starting to feel a little bit more normal at this time. But the focus of today was about these two coalitions that are being created. And this is, to me, the structure to start making decisions to rebuild and how that is taking shape. So this group is going to start meeting this week. It's called Minneapolis Forward Community Now Coalition. So it has seven aims. It's all, you know, very formal, but the goal is really to support business owners, especially those minority owned businesses that were hardest hit by violent protest. And it's going to be trying to retain them, giving them short-term support, even things like food and transportation, and then long-term support if they're not getting assistance from insurance. That's still something that's up in the air for a lot of these businesses and developing that plan, but also retention. So we avoid kind of a mass gentrification situation where developers are able to swoop in, take this land, rebuild it, and then really change the landscape of these really specific minority and immigrant owned businesses. So didn't get a lot of exact figures. We still don't know what the city itself is on the hold for. They are still going to be looking for state and federal help. The Minneapolis Foundation is involved in here too to distribute the funds as kind of the fiscal arm of this. But it's really going to be focused and those voices, those community members, and also those business members right there in these cultural corridors.
So Sloan, Mayor Frey was booed when he said that he was in favor of reforming the Minneapolis Police Department as opposed to defunding, dismantling, starting over. Did that come up? Any more details about what that might actually look like in practicality?
Well, he really doubled down on that, and he continued to say, I'm in favor of reimagining the entire department, but not abolishing it. So he, even with what happened yesterday, and I'm sure we've all seen the videos on social media about how strong that response was, he still is committed to saying that, and he still is putting his support behind Chief Madaria Arredondo and saying he is the person, as someone who once sued the department for racial discrimination, who has the integrity and the means to be able to completely turn things around. So what we got today was, I think, as opposed to a specific plan for how his differs to maybe what the council is starting to think, because we don't have a crystal clear idea of even what that is from the Minneapolis City Council. But he said, in his words, in the next few weeks, taking a fine-tooth comb to all policies with the Minneapolis Police Department. And he even said strongly, too, that they can't ignore the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room is the police union. So trying to really address what that looks like going forward, he called it a full-throated effort over the next year and a half in his term to address specifically not just the culture, but also the role the police union plays. But no, nothing extremely specific right here today.
That will be very interesting, because if you dismantle the police and start from scratch, you can get rid of the police union, which the former police chief, Jeanne Harto, and of course, the former mayor, Archie Ryback, believes is a huge part of the problem. So, I mean, Sloan, I'm hearing you say that maybe the mayor and the city council aren't even that far apart. It's just a matter of semantics now and plans going ahead.
Well, we still need to completely know what this means, because there are some people, whether it's city council members or people who have been, you know, really advocating for disbanding the police for even before the death of George Floyd, who really do think of it as no police, that it is completely community-based, that it is with mental health experts and social workers, and it just a completely reimagined from the ground up public safety response. And then you see something that's happened like in Camden, New Jersey, I was reading about over the weekend, where they basically really changed the funding. I mean, there's a lot of cities where that police budget can take up to 40% of an entire city's budget. So then there are people who just say, we need to completely rethink that, have fewer officers, less support in that category, and put more funding, redistribute it into social programs and housing and things like that. And that was something we heard from Mayor Fry, where we have to address in Minneapolis the disparity with educational attainment, home ownership, where about three quarters of white households own their home, where it's just a quarter on average for black families. So that is something they need to address, and that's something where maybe reallocating those funds could help. And then there's people who maybe just want to rebuild the structure of police, but take a completely different look at it.
Sloan Martin, thank you so much. We really appreciate you joining us. We're glad you were here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim and Mike, we see you. We're going to get to 505. Stick around. 651-989-9226. I'm gone for a week and I forget the phone number. 651-989-9226. Call us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.